drive-in concerts, online fundraisers, and rehearsals via Zoom. That's the new reality of producing art just over a year into COVID-19. But just how many of these changes will stick around once the pandemic is over? Chloe Veltman from member station KQED in San Francisco checked in with the Bay Area performing arts community and has this story.
A year into the pandemic, and I finally got to see a live show.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to Very Experimental COVID-Era Theater.
This piece of live theater put on by the Oakland Theater Project was a drive-in experience. We all sat in our cars as the voice of actor William Oliver III was piped in through our radios.
I said, Oakland is some kind of town, ain't it?
The Oakland Theatre Project planned this entire season around drive-in productions. William Thomas Hodgson is the nonprofit's co-artistic director.
This is something we could ask people to come to and still feel like we're keeping them safe.
Hodgson wants to get audiences out of their cars and into the theatre again, but there are some aspects to producing shows in a pandemic that he hopes will stick around, like paying actors a fairer wage. He says his company has been able to up their pay by 50% over last year. That's possible in a season like this one, where you're only hiring a handful or fewer of them per show.
We're committed to this, we're going to do it, but our mainstay at Oakland Theatre Project has been these large cast productions. I don't know what that looks like in the future.
What a great house tonight! What a wonderful crowd! They loved it! Nights like this are what we live for in the theatre.
Opera San Jose also hopes one day to return to big productions, but the pandemic has inspired the company to lean into producing one-act and chamber works like Three Decembers, with small casts and shorter shows. Corey Dastor is Opera San Jose's general director.
Shorter evenings reduce risk and help patrons feel more comfortable around pinch points. They make a lot of sense to welcome new audiences.
Dastor is investing heavily in digital tools and training, including offering video content translated into Spanish and Vietnamese. She says her audience is expanding as a result of these efforts, with several thousand new households tuning in this past year, versus around several hundred in previous years, both locally and from places as far-flung as Germany and Japan. But she recognizes some traditional opera lovers might not be on board with the digital revolution.
My anxiety and concern is how long it takes for us to get to a model where the people we've lost because of our pivot are offset by the new people that are engaging with us for the first time.
The bi-coastal contemporary dance company Raw Dance has also been able to reach new audiences with virtual content during the pandemic. Like the recent video world premiere of The Healer, a work inspired in part by the COVID-19 pandemic. The piece explores humans' ability to overcome physical and emotional suffering through the theme of traditional Chinese medicine and holistic practices. Raw Dance co-artistic director Katerina Wong says her company has been working hard to adapt their three-dimensional art form to the two-dimensional screen.
How do we still create that sense of connection and intimacy and communication when so many of us are sitting and watching lots of Netflix or like on back-to-back Zoom calls?
Wong says producing high-quality video is expensive, especially for small dance companies like hers. Figuring out how to expand access to the art form without sacrificing the quality of live performances when they return is a major financial challenge her company now faces. Raw Dance relies on donations and grants for survival, including funding from the city of San Francisco. Wong wants to see more government support.
What feels so essential being located in these cities is that it's a signaling of the significance of artists in the community to be culture bearers and culture makers.
San Francisco's Board of Supervisors recently approved a more than $24 million budget appropriation this year to support local arts groups. This is to make up for the loss of one of the main sources of arts funding, the hotel tax. That revenue is down by nearly 90% since last year, and arts groups are worried about making it through.
The short-term prognosis is not good.
That's San Francisco-based indie band manager Jordan Kurland. He sits on the boards of several local arts nonprofits and says the Bay Area community isn't just desperate for local government support. They're also waiting for federal aid to materialize from the Save Our Stages Act, a $15 billion aid package signed into law last December.
And that is going to provide some relief, but the application process has not begun.
Yet the resilience and creativity he's seeing locally gives Kurland reason for hope. For starters, rents have been dropping in the Bay Area, whose real estate is among the most expensive in the country.
I think there's opportunity right now. I think that is a silver lining from the pandemic.
And he says as the region becomes more affordable, the local arts community will bounce back. For Here and Now, I'm Chloe Veltman.